The Lord has not been bringing peace to the world.
So reality has to be arrived only in terms of its nature, repeating again, again, again. And how will you know what is nature? How will you know what is the nature? If reality cannot be known through any pramanam, reality is not an object, it is not our objective relation, being the subtlest, being the abstract, being attributeless, being formless, Shastram says reality has to be understood and that is only in terms of its swarupam, means how can you understand what is the swarupam? That is why it's amazing prakriyas. So avasthatraya prakriya, the nutrition viveka prakriya and avasthatraya prakriya, these two prakriyas help you arrive at the reality as the truth of the individual, swarupa of the individual, in terms of its nature of knowing, knowledge, consciousness, awareness. All these words are synonyms for us. And again, the same reality, Shastram helps us arrive at the nature of the reality, the reality of the entirety of the cosmos, in terms of its nature of existence. Later on, what do you understand? The reality which is arrived at in terms of its nature of existence of the universe, the reality which is arrived at in terms of its nature of consciousness are not two different realities, they are one and the same. In fact, there is no word which can be used. You have to use only subject. Consciousness, existence alone can be used. And this consciousness, existence, one and the same, being free from all limitations, is said to be anandaha, is said to be of the nature of fullness, of happiness or limitlessness or infinitude. Anandaha or anantam. So we understood yesterday what is chit and what is chit being the swarupa, this abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality. Discussed in the one which are previous verse, and we also saw how the same reality is also of the nature of existence. In fact, there is no meaning for the word existence other than this abstract formless reality. Okay, now today's class we will see, and yesterday again, the important lesson we had was we should never mistake the reality, the jnanam, the pure knowledge, or such the existence to be attributes of the reality. Okay? Attribute means what? Attribute is always dependent on its respective object, substance, a given substance. Whereas here, swarupa is not something just dependence. It is an independent entity. Reality is an independent entity. There is no independence. Again, it is not an attribute subject to change. Any attribute is subject to change. When the substance becomes, substance is subject to change, the attribute also is subject to change. So this is not an attribute subject to change. Again, even it is not even, available as classification, because satta and chit are not these two. Swarupams of reality actually is not a universal generic feature so that it can be reality can be classified. No classification is not possible. Is it clear? Let's explain all these things. Now we have to come to today's class.
अहमेव सुखं नान्यते अहमेव सुखं नान्यते अहमेव सुखं नान्यते अहमेव सुखं नान्यते अन्यच्छेनैव तत्सुखम् अन्यच्छेनैव तत्सुखम् अहमेव सुखं नान्यते अहमेव सुखं नान्यते sukham.
Anyachenaiva
tat sukham.
Anyachenaiva tat sukham.
Amadartham nahi preyaham.
Amadartham nahi preyaham.
Amadartham nahi preyaham. Madartham na svatah priyam.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
You are getting me? Can you hear me now?
Ahameva sukham nanyate.
Ahameva sukham nanyate.
Anyachenaiva tat sukham.
Anyachenaiva tat sukham.
Amadartham nahi preyah.
Amadartham nahi preyah.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
Madartham na svatah priyam.
What he means, he says, sukham. See, the word sukham is a noun. We take it as a noun, it means happiness. Sometimes it's an adverb also. And as an indignable word, it's also adverb, then happily, comfortably, easily, effortlessly. It also, sometimes it is used in the sense of an adverb. Effortlessly, easily, comfortably, happily. But otherwise, sukham is what happens. Sukham is also used to mean pleasure. Sukham, dukkham, when you say, sukham, dukkham, you say, is a pleasure. So sukham means happiness also. But we have to know the difference between sukham, the pleasure, sukham, happiness, sukham, joy, and then sukham, an adverb. We must remember the difference. But here, sukham means happiness. So what is happiness? Let us make it very clear. Happiness is something which is the most desirable, the most sought after. In fact, it is the only thing which is sought after by all the human minds. Sukham is something which is desirable, the most sought after. You know, sukham is what? Sukham is the goal of life. So it means, it is sukham means happiness. So happiness is not, sukham is not a state of mind. Sukham is not an attribute of any object also. Sukham is not something which comes and goes. Please make a note. Sukham is not a state of mind. Sukham is something which doesn't come and go. Sukham is something which is always there. So happiness is something that is always there, is everywhere. Everywhere, always, in everything, there is sukham. Sukham, sukham, sukham. Sukhamevasti. Sukham asti means what? Sukham asti means sukhaswarupam vastu asti. Sukham asti means sukhaswarupam vastu asti. If I say that light is means sun is, the same way, sukham asti means sukhaswarupam vastu asti. So the reality which is the center of nature of happiness is always everywhere, with everything, in everything, with every time, no place, no object where reality is not. Because reality has to be there as the existence, as the truth of every object. Reality alone is. Isn't it? Wherever opaque is, before the opaque, what must be there is what? The light. Light alone is shining in the form of an opaque thing. You can say that also. In the same way, wherever any object is, every object, before even that object, yeah, comes to light, and becomes known as an object, what is all, what must be always there is what? This awareness. Now, reality must be there. The reality is ever on the top of consciousness, not alone, is shining in the form of knowledge. So every object known is manifestation of knowledge. Known is an object. Object is the known. The known is manifestation of knowledge. Known is a manifestation of knowledge. Known is means, object is means, knowledge alone is shining. அறிவே அறியப்படும் பொருளாக விளங்குகிறது. Knowledge alone is shining in the form of knowledge, known object. Therefore, this reality being timeless, spatially limitless, the same sroop of reality, happiness also is beginningless, endless, changeless, okay, all pervasive, independent sroop. Happiness is sroopam of an independent entity. What is that, this ever of nature of happiness? It is the reality. So reality is not a state of mind, it is not an attribute which comes and goes. It is the timeless, all pervasive, everlasting, intrinsic, inseparable nature of the reality. So what is the happiness? That's why happiness is not a feeling. A feel happy. It's all about conclusions. Happiness is something solid. This we have to reorientation of the whole being and whole happiness. But what is happiness? So happiness is a synonym of the word fullness. Fullness. Purnatvam. Purnatvam eva muktihi. Purnatvam is mokshaha. Purnatvam eva sukham. Purnatve sukham. Apurnatve dukham. Why? Happiness is fullness. Why? Because apurnatve, in inadequacy, there is no sukham. Inadequacy, there is no sukham. In fullness, there is sukham. Therefore, what? Fullness is sukham. Fullness is happiness. And the fullness again, reality is ever of nature of fullness. Reality should fill. That's why I give the grass example. What's the grass example? We say with reference to ocean, reality being the water. The so-called ocean is filled with water. Water. Water, the reality, with reference to ocean, fills the ocean. It's another way of looking at it. Fills the ocean means the so-called form called ocean, this mithya form called ocean, okay, is in and through pervaded, filled with water. Why does the water fill the ocean? Being the truth of the ocean, being that which is existence of the ocean, filling is what? Is the nature. So filling is what? Being full is the nature of the reality. With reference to ocean, nature of the water. So with reference to anything, the reality of that object should pervade. So filling means what? Being pervasive. And here, the most abstract, inexplicably subtlest, formless reality, we already understood this ever of nature of consciousness existence also. In what now? Is ever of nature of fullness. In Tamil, we have a beautiful word, niraivu. Okay, so niraivu is fullness. So, we say fullness is happiness. There is no other happiness. And the fullness again implies what? Being full means implies also limitlessness. You have to understand three words. Limitlessness, fullness, happiness. This is what Pujya Swamiji explains so beautifully. No other acharya explains this. You can go and listen to any other number. The amazing, eloquent, beautiful, talks, you can go and listen. There is no other acharya explained this way. Very beautiful. Okay? Limitlessness of infinitude is what? Fullness. And fullness is happiness. And how do you say limitlessness is fullness? If we are limited by time, limited by space, so being limited by time or space or object or attribute means In ignorance, when you have erroneous, there's error in the perception of the self, when the strong identity is with the anatma, body, mind, and complex, helplessly, you mistake yourself for a limited individual. Because body, mind, and complex are bound by time, bound by spatially limited, time is limited, object-based attributes are also limited. Being subject to limitations, body, mind, and complex, being subject to all possible limitations, time, space, and object. And because identity, Atma is mistakenly bound by time, space, and object limitations. This is when, you think you are a limited being. So being limited by time, space, and object with limitations is what? Being bound. Being bound and being unhappy. So being limited is equal to being finite. Being finite is being limited, being bound. Being bound is what? Being unhappy. Now make it down. So being unhappy. So being limitless is being full, being infinite. Being limitless is equal to being infinite. Being infinite is being full. Being full is being, not being bound. Not being bound means what? Being free. And being free is what? Freedom. And freedom is happiness. Isn't it now? Therefore, limitlessness is equal to fullness. Fullness is equal to freedom. Freedom is equal to happiness. Bondage is dukkham. Freedom is happiness. And happiness is surupam. Understand? There's no other happiness. Being limitless means being happy. That's all. So limitlessness is equal to happiness. If you are limited, then there is a bond. Being bound means being unhappy. There is unhappiness. Therefore, happiness also, what should one do to be happy? What should one do to become happy? Even if you do something, you can never become happy. You can keep on doing something or the other, continue to be unhappy. Happiness is what? How can you become happy? You are already happiness. You are already a sugar candy, can never, sugar crystal can never become sweet. It's already sweetness. The sugar crystal is ever after it of sweetness. It never becomes sweet. That is why we can never become happy. You are, if you place the I exactly in a sort of abstract formless reality, consciousness, existence, and from the standpoint of consciousness and existence, you are happiness yourself. Because you are ever of nature of fullness, ever of nature of limitlessness, infinity. Understand? That is why, as reality, they are implied by the term Brahma. Because of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness alone, implied by what? The word Brahma. Now, so happiness, something to be discovered, and it has to be claimed as one's own story. How can you discover happiness separately? To discover the abstract formless reality in terms of its nature of consciousness existence, you will understand how consciousness existence is beginningless, endless. Consciousness has no beginning, existence has no beginning. They are not true. This reality has no beginning, no end, no change, not subject to any relative destruction, also absolutely indestructible. It has independent existence. Reality is not different than anything else for its existence. Just it is. Never being existent is the nature. It is that reality, it is ever of nature of fullness of happiness. If you discover that reality and repeatedly dwell upon it, you don't become happy, you take ownership of limitlessness, being your own nature, and in which there is only happiness, happiness, happiness. If you discover happiness, what is there is only happiness. If you do not discover happiness, there will be both sukham and dukkham in life. Understand? This is what is sukham, first of all, understand. And what he says, that sukham is what? அகமேவ சுகம். வாட்டிக்கம் அகமேவ சுகம். பீ வேதாந்த சொல்றது he never say state of mind. People come and give beautiful English language and they talk very nicely. It's a state of mind. No. Happiness is not a state of mind. It's everlasting. Happiness is everlasting. Unchanged. That's why ahameva sukham. That sukham. Ahameva. I, the self, am happiness myself. What is it? I am happiness myself. It's my own swarupam. I, consciousness, existence, am ever of the nature of happiness, fullness of happiness, limitlessness. Is it clear? Ahameva sukham. So the first person singular pronoun I, in Sanskrit, aham, expressed is a word, and before the expression there must be cognition. Okay, cognition, I, we ask, what is it, I? The first and the foremost of the manifestations is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, what is Swarupam of it? Consciousness and existence, pure naturally. Therefore, what is my nature? Aham Sukham, myself. Aham, Ahameva Sukham, I am happiness myself. I am fullness of happiness myself. Anyaticha, say anyatiche, anyatiche. See what Sandhi get, make a note of it. Anyatiche. That is, na sukham, naiva sukham. If other than me, anything else is taken to be sukham, that is really not sukham. Sometimes mistake, isn't it? If anything else other than the Atma, if anything else other than substrate, formless reality, implied in Atma or Brahman is taken to be Sukham, happiness, okay, or source of happiness or Sukham, then definitely that is non-Sukham, that is not at all happiness. So look at this. What very profound or authentic expression of teaching, words here. Nananaya. Probably that is sukham, this is sukham. That means you do not know. He says what? Anyat chet. Anyat chet means what? Anyat kimapi sukham chet. If anything else is sukham, and make sure that is sukhnaiva sukham. That is not happiness at all. That is sukham na eva. Okay? That sukham naiva means what? That is not at all happiness. Is it clear? And here I want to stop and make it very clear. What is the sukham? When do we think something else is sukham? We mistake many objects in the world as an object of pleasure. You say, no, that is an object of pleasure. Classical music is an object of pleasure. Dance is an object of pleasure. Nothing wrong. We can have, enjoy pleasure, okay? Indulging us in all those things, but we should be very careful. Those so-called objects of enjoyment are not the sources of objects of pleasure. There's no object of pleasure which is a source of pleasure. An object, so any object of pleasure is not an object of pleasure. This is what? It is not a source of pleasure. That's what we are trying to understand. It can be music, it can be dance, it can be progeny, it can be wife, it can be husband, it can be emotional company, anything which keeps me company. So, a food, it can be food, it can be place where you sit. Isn't it? See, we want entertainment all the time. I want to keep myself entertained, engaged, occupied, because I want, it's all pretty fun to say. Just as now, this the baby, the newborn baby, a few months baby, when you open the mouth, cries, you will take a gilkai. No, gilkai? What's called gilkai from English? Pratyatam. Pratyatam. You take it, nod it, no? And that sound is not, the sound comes, attention is diverted. What do? We don't feel happy. We turn, we divert child's attention. You know it or not? The attention is diverted. Attention is diverted in the child. No? There's no, it is subscribed, I mean the pain goes. Understand? Which means, really no other source of happiness. In the same way, when you are a child, you had a milk, you had a battle, and when you grow older and older, you have different things. The same object, the object of pleasure is different, okay? But the object keeps you entertained, occupied is different, but within, still you mistake the world of happiness to be source of happiness. Understand? No object in the world is definitely a source of happiness. How can you say, Ahameva Sukham, I, the consciousness existence, am ever of nature of happiness, of fullness of happiness. I myself am ever of nature of fullness of happiness. On what basis you say? You can understand it here. What Shastri says, we think that the whole world of things are full of objects are precious. We think, whether we want them. We want to possess objects. There's any object which provokes, invokes the pleased self in me, it is taken to be a desirable object because it keeps me happy. It makes me happy. So that object is a source of happiness, source of pleasure, we think. When that object is with me, I'm happy. The object is not that I'm unhappy. So that object is a source of happiness, is what we mistake. But sometimes we understand certain things which are very objects of pleasure, sometimes the same objects become objects of pain also. So like, object of pleasure can be object of pleasure also. The same object, some other time, it becomes an object of pain. The same object, some other place, become an object of pain and of pleasure. Therefore, definitely the object, if object is a source of pleasure, then it must be pleasing me always. No. Fails to please very painful. In fact, it causes greater pain also. Therefore, what is the source of happiness now? The source of, what is the pleasure first of all? So pleasure, what we experience, is only a fraction of expression of fullness of happiness. A fraction of expression of a manifestation of fullness of happiness alone is pleasure. Are we interested in fullness or fraction? We are interested only in fullness of happiness, not fraction of happiness. So pleasure is manifestation of fraction of fullness of happiness. And how when does the pleasure become manifest? Is it when there's a fraction of happiness become manifest? When? So when we are involved in enjoying any object, it can be food which you like very much, it can be music which you love to listen to, maybe the melodies, or the dance program which I'm watching, the colorful things which I'm enjoying, or something, any object of entertainment, anything which makes me happy, it can be even sometimes people see this also, anything which, any object, people even watch these TV series, nothing is to learn. Still people watch. Why? There is some pleasure. There is some pleasure. You know, sometimes I really feel like I'm sitting in thorns, no? Whatever, watch there, or 15-year-old man sitting there, his bike is stopped there, and watching YouTube, there are some stupid things he's watching. All the time, young man that is sitting not doing anything, my God, it makes me feel, you know, that as the worms are really moving on. Isn't it? It's not right. It's Maha, it's at her, isn't it? Something. So, Jeshta. It's not good. So, what I'm saying, so we think, you know, why is it good? Let me tell you, why? Whether it can be YouTube channels or television series are stupid or good. People get engrossed, okay? Some people may not like it, so they watch something else. Or readings. So many things in the world. Some it can be even highly elevating, uplifting music also. Anything. But we they are pleasing. thing. But at least, you know, Bhagavan, at least classical music, because it remains, it keeps you in mind Bhagavan upasana. It's another Brahma upasana. That's okay. Otherwise, things keep you entertained, because what happens, it takes your attention totally. Please listen to me carefully. What is pleasure? This is how pleasure is defined. Whenever we involve in listening to something, hearing something, watching something, involved in some intelligence, that object totally holds our attention. Attention is totally paralyzed. Hold our attention. Whenever attention is totally lost in that object of enjoyment, what happens? Gradually, the total involvement in enjoyment of the object makes me forget myself. In Tamil, we say, Neemarandu Pogiru. You forget yourself. You forget yourself. You're lost, you're so lost in the enjoyment of the object to the extent of forgetting yourself. When you forget yourself, the fundamental problem, the common human universal fundamental problem of sense of smallness, the smallness does not become triggered. The smallness can be triggered only if you are conscious of yourself. When you forget yourself, the smallness does not become triggered. Whenever smallness is not triggered, the fundamental problem is not triggered, any wrong notion you have about yourself is not triggered, the smallness is not triggered, then there is no pain. Whenever there is no pain, it's not happiness. Whenever there is no pain, that is what is now? Manifestation of fraction of happiness. You are just yourself. Whenever you forget yourself, you are just yourself. Objects help me to be myself. In sleep, I am myself. Why? I have no identity. In deep sleep state, I have no identity at all. Therefore, in non-identity, I am myself. Please listen to me. I am saying something very, very important. In sleep, when there is no identity, I am myself. There is no wrong identity, isn't it? There I am myself. But what happens in the day, in the whole day, whenever I'm engrossed in enjoying something, the object holds my attention, completely I lose myself in enjoyment of that object, to the extent of forgetting myself, at least for a length of time. Okay? Whenever I forget myself also, I have no identity. And I forget, if this sense of smallness, I does not become bigger. Therefore what? There is a sukham. I am myself. For a short time, the object of enjoyment helps me remain myself. What is manifestation of fraction of happiness means, short while I am myself. Not knowing what I am, I remain myself. Amazing. Whenever you are yourself, there is sukham. If you are yourself, means you have no identity. No identity means what now? No problems can be triggered. Subconscious cannot be triggered. What is subconscious cannot be triggered? Surface. So no pain. What is sukham? Whenever you are yourself, there is sukham. If you are yourself, there is sukham. Unfortunately, in sleep, total ignorance is there. In waking state, whenever you are enjoying objects, your objects help you to be yourself. How? How? By holding attention totally, by helping you forget yourself, okay? They help you not to have any identity with it. Identity, so for a fraction of, for a short time, you are yourself, Whatever, that's happiness. That's sukha. But how long can you be like that? As long as the object you're enjoying is available, isn't it? There's a time, okay, television, the movie comes to an end. That which holds your attention, being an object, that is subject to time. The object comes to an end, isn't it? It can be watching television, it can be listening to music, it can be any object being time-bound. It has to end. That condition of mind has to end, isn't it? That condition of mind has to end means what? The attention held by any object, isn't it, has limitation. Therefore, it's not possible for it to pay attention continuously. Attention has to be taken away from that. Because nature of the mind also is such that attention will go away. Attention goes, again, you are reminded of yours. You are reminded, and the very quickly identity is there, and then again, not in. Then there's a possibility of what again? Going through pain. This is how. And whenever you are, how long you are there yourself? Only for a short time. Watching, listening to some music for half an hour, 1 hour, or watching television for 1 hour, or movie for 2.5 hours, or listening to something, eating for 10 minutes, half an hour, that time, you must be totally engrossed. That. Then you are yourself. You are yourself. Understand? Because you are small as you forget yourself. How long can you be yourself? Only for a short time. That is why that sukham expression is what? Manifestation of fraction of fullness of happiness, which is your own soul. So, pleasure is happiness. Happiness is not pleasure. Understand now? And you can have any degrees of pleasure. In Taittiriya Upanishad, you are going to enjoy different degrees of pleasure. Ananda Mimamsa, the topic we are going to see, is enjoyable. You know, any degree of pleasure, you can have joy, pleasure, joy, or even happiness. Any degree of pleasure is nothing but fraction of manifestation of fullness of happiness, which is your own sorrow. Pleasure is nothing but effortlessly. Pleasure is nothing but being myself for a shortest period of time. But for me to be myself, not have any identity, for the smallest not to be triggered, just to be myself, this attention has been held. That is why object becomes, you get attached to objects. Oh, that makes me happy, this makes me happy, the place makes me happy. In fact, you are sukham yourself. Shastra says, you are sukham. No sukham ever comes from anywhere else. That is why, I think I am told many times, you also met very many times, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he was talking to Vivekananda. Once he said, this dog, the dog bites the bone. The dog, no? Bites the bone. Then the dog bites the bone, and then the bone has no blood. Only bites the bone. Bone is very rough, no? The friction caused by the bone, what causes wound in its own mouth, and from its own flesh, the blood oozes. In the dark water, so it tastes the blood. And it really tastes, isn't it? It tastes the blood. The obedient dog mistakes the bone to be a source of some blood. The poor dog thinks the blood comes out only from the bone. It releases the blood, isn't it? Not knowing from its own wound is coming. But what does the bone do? Bone only can cause the friction that it can make the blood ooze out from its own flesh. If it doesn't bite the bone, blood doesn't come. So what is the wrong idea? It thinks the blood is coming, no? Coming from the bone. Dry bone, it is biting. Blood comes from its own body. Understand? It has the pleasure of releasing its own blood, but it is its own blood. But it would not mistake the blood to be, or bone to be the source of the blood. In the same way, objects are only, objects help you be, remain yourself. How? Yes, by holding attention totally, making you forget yourself. Helping you not to have identity. In sleep, Bhagavan helps us have that sukham, temporarily. Okay, even the objects of enjoyment, also what are ordained by Bhagavan, as the form of results of actions, in keeping with the punyam we have. Understand? Punyam alone buys you even tiny, small, least degree of pleasure also. You are able to enjoy as a result of the punyam you have earned. Understand? Nothing comes free. Even to enjoy, to have an object which can be an object of pleasure, isn't it to be, yes, to help you be with yourself, help you yourself, you must have pain. Understand? Nothing comes. The pain comes. Pain is what? Pain means you are not yourself. What is pain? Whenever you are not yourself, there is pain. When are you not yourself? Whenever the fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, sense of error becomes triggered and there is pain. It means you are not yourself. You are not yourself means what? Your identity is with what? Anatma, body, mind is complex, and based on the error, based on the conclusions you make, erroneous conclusions, you have your own notion about yourself, and then the pain. Again, who causes pain? Why should you be wrong? Why should you not forget yourself? Why should you have wrong identity? Certain objects specifically trigger this smallness. Association of things trigger my smallness. There is a fundamental form of trigger. The problem is triggered, there is pain. Fundamental problem is triggered means what? Fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, syndrome. I become triggered, then I am not myself. When I am not myself, there is dukkham. When I am myself, there is sukkham. To be myself, not be myself. To be myself, not be myself. Who are these situations? Our own punyam. Punyam, you are yourself. Papam, you are not yourself. Punyam, you are yourself. Papam, you are not yourself. And to trigger, to trigger your problems also, our situations come, isn't it? Our associates, the situations, they all become instrumental. They can be closest to family members, can be closest to friends, relatives, or neighbors, associates, colleagues, acquaintances. Anything, see, that's why you come in contact with only such people. We to exhaust the power of the whole jagat has countless number of people. But how many people become important for us in America? Tell me. Every Tom, Dick, Harry has 10 people around him. This is how much you say. How many people we know? Our family, relatives, neighbors, friends, associates. Apart from that, very rarely we get in touch with people. And we become friends and associates. And they become nimittam, instrumental, for either pain or pleasure. So, part of the ordained association. It's a very beautiful phrase in Shastram. Nothing is there, and everything is ordained. Every care, chaste, You are yourself or you are not yourself. You are not yourself means what? Your identity is there. Your fundamental problem is triggered, for which external situations become instrumental. It can be anything. Therefore, what is sukham? Aham eva sukham. What should you, we say? All of us should say, aham eva sukham. Aham eva sukham na anyat. There is nothing which is a source of happiness. I am happiness myself, and the only source of happiness. So any degree of pleasures is all manifestations of fractions of my own nature. Anyat chet, anyat, two anyat, okay? Anyat chet, tat sukham naiva tat sukham. If something else other than me is sukham, make sure, make it a point, that is not sukham at all. That is not sukham at all. Then he says, next sentence. I will throw the first line. What is the second line? Preyaha. Preyaha is equal to Priyaha or Priyam.
Hello.
Preyaha. Preyaha means Priyaha. Priya, Priya, is it? Not Priya. Priya is simply Priya, Priya, Priya. Okay, means dear. In masculine, Priya, feminine, Priya, you have to tell it Priya. Means Priyatama, dearest. Dear, dearer, dearest. Priya, Priyam, Priyataram, Priyatama. Understand? Catch all these words here. So, dear. So dear means what? It is just lovable for me. Amadarthami na priyaha. Madartham swataha na priyam. Okay. So, it's explained here. How can you say, I am ever of the nature of happiness? What he says, we always love things. Which are the things which are dear to us? Which are the things which we love? Who are the people whom we love? There are people whom we love. There are people who are dear to us, dearer to us, dearest to us. We also say, yeah, this is dear, dear, but he's very my dear friend. Dearer for me, or dearest for me. He said, very emotional. Okay? He said, all this, na, dear friend, dearer friend, dearest friend, those people that are dearest to us, dearest to my heart, I love them very much. And he's most loved, more loved, loved. He said, we love people. We consider them to be very dear to us. Okay? And not only people, objects, things, situations, places, anything, okay? The things which are dear to us, people who are dear to us, dearer to us, dearest to us, means the things which we love them, we love them. Which are the things, who are the people, which are the places we love? We consider them to be dear, dearer, dearest to us. Only people who please me, who make me happy. Make me happy means what? Who help me? Who invoke my pleased self, isn't it? People who make me happy, people who praise me, I talk highly of me, or flatter me and who give me, make me feel important. Then if the ahankara is boosted, I love that place, I love that people, I want to go there, I want to be with them. Why? They praise me, they flatter me, they make me feel nice. I'm giving importance, I'm a celebrity, I'm not, no, nobody there, isn't it? So I want to go there, I want these people, I love these people, and I love those people. They care for me, and they make me happy. In the places I love, they make me happy. Only we love, we consider things and people we give to us, only if they make us happy. If people are making me feel unhappy, definitely then we start hating them. The objects of love, okay, based on the objects, people, situations, things which are which make me happy. They said to me, what? Objects of love, objects of dear people, etc. If they make me unhappy, then I hate them. Objects of hatred. Understand? So, what does it mean? I love somebody who makes me happy. Who makes me feel happy. This is what Chinmayananda explained beautifully, is falling in love. Okay? We attract, especially young girls and boys, are towards each other, they fall in love and curry and all those nonsense that they talk about. And he used to say this. It was a very natural thing. If there's some emotional companionship, there's some joy, some pleasure in the company of a person, then I want the person to be with me forever. Isn't it? It's all very, and then quickly the quarrel and fight and go away also. What I'm saying, this I love somebody means that person makes me happy. We always love things, people, situations which make us happy. Therefore, I love myself. I am the most loved by myself. Why? Because my love, my loving other person is based on some conditions. As long as the person pleases me, I love the person. The minute the person says something which I don't like, okay, then I hate the person. Something will touch me nuts. Okay? Always you must keep your good humor. Good humor. Always talk nice words, nice words. One day we say something, don't do this, immediately unhappy, upset. Some people, even some children are like that. Parents should not say one word. You don't love me, don't like me. They start. So what, these are emotional problems, isn't it? What I'm saying, only people who please me, who make me happy, I love them. If they don't make me happy, I don't love them. It means my love for objects in the world is a conditional love. Conditional love, isn't it? Whereas love for myself, unconditional. There's no condition, isn't it? There's a, I love myself unconditionally. My love for anything in the world, including my parents, including my children, my dearest children, all is conditional. If they make me continuously unhappy, I want to get rid of the person. I want to run away from the person, you say. Of course I love my child, but I cannot handle any more of this world. You want to switch off. Because you can't handle it more. You don't want to be unhappy. Naturally, unhappiness is there. Because of the fact, unhappiness is purely because of the erroneous notion you have about yourself, because of the erroneous self-perception only. What causes unhappiness is not people around. Nobody in the world is responsible for your unhappiness. Nothing in the world is responsible for your unhappiness. Nobody is a source of happiness. Who can make you happy, and nobody can make you unhappy also. Unhappiness, anybody who is unhappy, unhappiness I experience is purely because of my own erroneous self-perception, erroneous notion I have about myself, for which others become only instrumental. Understand? Nobody can make me unhappy. But we think when people make me happy, and they become the objects of love. If people make me unhappy, unknowingly or inevitably, unexpectedly also, some situations, if I get hurt, I get offended, wounded by them, then I start hating them. The same objects of pleasure, the objects of the lovable objects, the dear ones become what? Objects of hatred also. That's why conditions. My love for anything in the world, okay, is conditional love. Only if you make me happy, I can be good to you. If you don't make me happy, I hate you. I keep myself away. Sometimes, no, sometimes some emotions on surface, and then I feel some unhappiness, and I think of the person, and I don't text, I don't call, I don't write, I want to keep away. I want to forget myself in this atmosphere where I am given importance and I want to be happy. These are all emotions. That very natural in the mind, unpredictable. How the weather is unpredictable, the mental behavior, I tell you, condition is completely unpredictable. That's why we have to be granular to see, accommodate the whole behavior, the standpoint, the mental condition of a person. But it's very, very important. So what I'm saying, so my liking, love for anybody, and anybody or anything being dear to me, is purely based on certain conditions. So conditional love. Whereas, I love myself. What is the condition? Is any condition why you love yourself? Unconditional. The love for oneself is unconditional. I love myself the most. I am the dearest to myself. Therefore, I must be the source of happiness. This is what Shastra says. It's very beautiful. Do you see that? I love what I'm saying. I don't know how you feel it. Isn't it? That's the truth. Therefore, now he says, Madartham. See, Madartham is what now? Madartham means Mat means this Ahamsham. The Mat is actually the fourth case. Okay? Artham in here, Madartham means for my sake. Madartham. Madartham Pakam Karoti. The person cooks for my sake. For my sake. For my purpose. Isn't it? Madartham is what? For my sake. For my sake, he cooks. For my sake, she spends money. For my sake, she lives. For my sake, no? For my sake, she does this. Madartham, madartham karoti, madartham pachati, madartham jivati. In fact, genuinely, even though there is error in the perception, still the attachment of parents to children is such. Sometimes they say, I live in this world, I live for the sake of my children. They say that. Again, many parents say, isn't it? Because I had to fulfill my duties. So much, even though they have a lot of pain, any parent, any mother, any father, definitely, they love their children and they live for their sake. So, Madartham. Madartham, my father lives. Madartham, my mother lives. Madartham, he does this. Madartham is for my sake. Okay. When anything is done for my sake, anything good is done for my sake, anything is done for the happiness, for my happiness, anything is given for keeping me in good humor is Madartham. That makes me feel happy. That provokes the pleased self in me. Then what now? I love that. Anything which is done for my sake, anything is given for my sake, anything is given for, done for my happiness, then I love that. So, Madartham Priyaha. Isn't it? Amadartham na Priyaha. You got now. Anything that does not become an object of love for me, that does not become dear for me, if something is not done for me, for my sake, that doesn't make me happy. Is it clear now? That Madartham means only if something is pleases me, then it is like madartham. Amadartham na preyaha. If it is, does not make me happy, it is not for my happiness. If it is not for the sake of my happiness, I don't like it. That doesn't become there for me. Amadartham na preyaha. Okay, finished. The last one. Madartham swataha na priyam. Madartham swataha na priyam. Even if there's anything which is dear to me, which makes me happy, that is not, that by itself, not dear to itself. Which means there's really no, anything in the world is the source of sukha. Understand? It's like a conditional. My love for anything in the world is based on conditions. Only as long as another person makes me happy, I love that person. I want to stick to the person like a leech. Okay? I want the emotion so entangled that I can't be with the person for a minute. And then texting and lighting and then calling and then disturbing, so disturbed, missing the absence, and then you disturb it. Swami said, disturbed will disturb others. It's all emotional disturbances. So that's what emotion, bond, need, isn't it? Very difficult. Very, very careful to take your attention from away. That's why from childhood onwards, you are with the parents, you are with the family, you are with members, you are with the friends, you are with the other enjoyment. Always you are taught to place your mind in Bhagavan. Every day you must pray. Even though you do not know Bhagavan, you don't know how prayer is useful, effective. You don't know anything. Still you are helped to, you are taught to lean on Bhagavan from childhood. Go pray, bow to Bhagavan. Worship Bhagavan, ask for good buddhi, always taught. No way, you should not get stuck only with the world of objects and people. Isn't it? We should also rely on Bhagavan. And that's why we're taught. Okay. Otherwise, you cannot handle your emotions otherwise. Helpless. Madhuttam swataha na priyam. Amadartham nahi preyaha. Madhuttam swataha na priyam. Anything is there for my sake also. It is not by itself a source of happiness. It is not dear to me because it is a source of happiness. No. It is dear to me because of certain conditions. It's not dear to me by itself. Means what? That dear to me by itself means it is not. I love that thing for the sake of it. No. It is dear to me because of certain conditions. And it is not a source of happiness also. Is it clear? So it is. Is it clear now? This one? Okay. Now, one more thing to tell you. Again, what is sukham? Let's move to the next verse now. Swataha na priya means it is not by itself dear to me. By itself is not a source of happiness. How happiness? Again, it is dear for me based on its conditions.
Again, not swataha priya.
Swataha na priyam. It is not dear to me by itself. It's not a source of happiness. Only based on conditions is dear to me. If it makes me happy, it's dear to me. It doesn't make me happy, it doesn't become dear to me. That is the idea. That's what it means. Yes. See, ahameva sukham na anyate. I, the self, am the happiness myself, not anything else. Okay? Yes, there's nothing which is happiness other than me. Okay? The second is, anyate chet, anyate. If something else other than me is happiness, tat naiva sukham. That is never happiness. Anyate chet. If anything else other than me is happiness, it's up implied, okay? Tat naiva sukham. Definitely that is not at all a source of happiness. But we do think, but that is sukham for me. It is sukham for me. Watching it is sukham for me. Going there is sukham for me. Being a person is sukham for me. Having this is sukham for me. Isn't it? And it will be a mistake. That is why people are craving. Why people are craving? So restless. Searching for their own surupam, going all over. That is, understand now. Why people want different, people go on a cruise and gamble and drink and eat and then want to sing and then go here, go there. Why? It's all for sukham. It's all for happiness. It's all for happiness. So all this confusion, disturbances, go here, go there, do that, do this. Sukham. What happens is, isn't it? If I have a mistake, others want objects of pleasures. We think the so-called objects of pleasures to be sources of pleasures. Isn't it? They are not. Swataha priyam, swataha na priyam. No object which is dear to me is by itself a source of happiness, source of pleasure. Understand? It is dear to me based on different conditions. Understand? If you understand this, you will genuinely be kind to others. If you will have dharma means you are not hurting anybody, you are genuinely caring and compassionate. You don't get emotionally entangled. Understand? It's very important, very important lesson. Don't take it for granted. There is nothing in the world is a source of sukham. That is why in Vedanta class, we are helped to become emotionally independent. Naturally, effortlessly, helplessly, choicelessly, we are emotionally independent. Being dependent on anything for one's happiness and security is dependent, which is attachment. Attachment is nothing but emotional dependence. What is attachment? Attachment is nothing but emotional dependence. Emotional dependence means what? Dependence for what? Being dependent on anything, on anyone in the world for one's happiness and security is attachment. Is understand now? And here, Shastram, we are naturally, effortlessly, we are emotionally dependent. So Shastram does not say, don't be emotionally dependent. Does not say that. Shastram accepts our helplessness. Shastram shows us why there is dependence. And as long as dependence is there, what you're dependent is available, you're okay. It's not available, it's a big goal. That is why learn to be detached. How can you learn to be detached? Learning to be detached means learning to be emotionally independent. Learning to be emotionally independent means what? understanding what is the source of happiness, what source of security. If I understand what is the source of happiness and security, why should I be relying on something else for happiness and security if it is not a source of happiness and security? A misplaced trust, isn't it? That is why in the teaching we always say what? We are helplessly, emotionally dependent on anything and everything in the world. It's called world dependence. Being dependent on friends, relatives, relationships, positions is what? World dependence. As we helplessly, we are dependent on the world for our happiness and security. And I say, being dependent on the world for our happiness and security means being dependent on relationships, positions, manpower, money power, looks, academic qualifications, jobs, money earning. It's all emotional dependence. See, you need money, you need job, you need manpower, you need everything. But you can have them, you may not have them, but I'm not dependent on that for my happiness and security. That is important. Shastra does not say you should not have all that. You can have all them, but even if you have them, if you are dependent on them emotionally, still you are bound. You are attached. Being dependent gives them. Being burdened, the heaviness. You feel emotionally burdened, always dependent. It's not easy to shift the dependence from the world to the real source of happiness and beauty, happiness and security. We do not know what is the real source of happiness and security. That is why Shastram helps you all. That is why religious life. Religious life is brought into the picture. The religious culture is brought into the picture. Bhagavan is brought into the picture. Why? The dependence must be shifted from the world to Bhagavan. That is why in Indian classical music, Bhagavan is the only subject matter of classical music. We know no other things. Even if any physical description is only Bhagavan only. Even Ramana should talk about Ramana is also Bhagavan. Because only Bhagavan has been made. Everything is of Bhagavan. So what I am saying, shift the dependence from the world to Bhagavan. Then you are relatively relaxed. As long as you depend on the world for your happiness and security, you are heavily burdened. You are stressed always because there is no guarantee, there is no trust. You can't test trust, you can't rely on people will change, your minds will change. Can anything? They change. It's not they want to change, they change because of their situations, their background. You can't blame anybody. Why this person is changed like this? You can't blame anybody. Again, the mind. Isn't it? So what I'm saying, it is very natural, but Shastram is the culture. The culture where the culture must be that which contributes for the well-being of every Indian society, that it takes care of the society's well-being. Religious culture, religious disciplines. When the word religion comes, Bhagavan comes. We do not know who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is. Still, we are taught to what? Worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan, isn't it? And then live, always please Bhagavan, tap Bhagavan's place. Means gradually our dependence is shifted from people, relationships, positions, manpower, money power, everything to Bhagavan. Even though I given the person back to Artha Kamas in the world, still I'm not dependent on Artha Kamas for my happiness and security. My dependence only on Bhagavan. That is where Dharma also comes. I live a strictly a life of dharma because I'm dependent on living a life of dharma for my happiness and security. It means my dependence is on Bhagavan. Then I'm relatively relaxed, free from stress. Okay, pain still I can manage, handle my problems. Okay, I don't allow myself to be lost in the tragic pain situations happening in life. I don't allow myself to get lost. So I handle. I'm relatively relaxed and free from stress. And then we depend on Bhagavan because of Bhagavan's grace. Gradually, when we give the study of the Shastram, going through Shravanam and Mananam, Nityasram, gradually I shift my dependence from Bhagavan to myself. Ahameva Sukham. Why? Bhagavan is Aham. When discover, initially, for me, Bhagavan is what? Somebody other than me. In the wake of the Jnanam, I discover that Bhagavan, the only source of happiness and security, as myself. Then what? Ahameva Sukham, I myself. And the only source of everlasting fullness of happiness. Because my Swarup is what? Bhagavan. I'm not different from Bhagavan. Then even dependence is shifted from Bhagavan to myself means there no dependence at all. There's only independence. This independence is freedom. Freedom from emotion. Dependence is freedom. And freedom is what? Happiness. Nityas Narantara Sukham Ahameva. Then I don't need to relax and I'm not free from stress. Absolutely I'm free from any problem, any limitation. Understand? Nothing can cause any stress for me, any strain for me. This is what Mr. Shastram means. Ahameva Sukham. Have you got it now? See, I'm just telling you why I'm happy. Satyam, I never come to class prepared. Just what all Swamiji told me in the class, what all I heard there, that comes to mind somehow, I'm telling you. What all Swamiji told me in this context, it comes to me, I'm just telling you. Understand? So I'm very happy about it. Okay? Anandaha. Ahameva Anandaha. Remember? The Shiva lesson. Anandoham, 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 Amatma. Isn't it? Ahameva Anandaha. In Brahma Jnanavali Mala, if you remember, you can recite and remember. Many years ago, I taught here. Okay. Is it clear now? What is happiness to come? So, see that when he says, Madan Swataha Napriyam, Swataha Napriyam means there's nothing which is of the nature of happiness. There's nothing which is of the nature of happiness. Other than me. Nothing which is a source of happiness. Which is not by nature. Naturally it is not dear to me. It cannot be dear to me by its very nature. Because it is not a source of happiness. Got it? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Guru Namah Hari Om.